Right now it is time for Real News, a time where we get together with Brian Ross and we take a look at stories that are going on and bubbling about us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you. A lot going on this Thursday. I guess it's the first day of July.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, when this whole collapse of the building first started, I thought to myself, this is where your background investigating is going to come in. I mean, we're finding out just a whole bunch of horrid facts of things that were known and were not known and were given around. And it appears that there's going to be some criminal liability sooner or later somewhere with somebody.
Without a doubt, this building was built in 1981, 40 years ago. It was a time when the building code and the building code enforcement in Dade County, which is where this is, was extremely weak. In fact, in 1991, when the Hurricane Andrew came through, I was a reporter at NBC covering the aftermath of that, and it was revealed then a huge scandal about the failure of the people to enforce building codes, and homes that could have withstood the storm did not because they were built so shoddily. You have to wonder if that same thing applies here. Plus, we're taking a close look at some of the videos coming out now, see leaking, and the extensive, you know, it's not that far from the water, and the water table there has risen, thanks to global warming, about 4 inches in the last decade or so. So a lot of issues there, but I have a strong focus, and I would on the corruption that perhaps allowed a second-rate building to go up there.
Just a story that I know it sounds obnoxious when you say it, but you don't think of something like this without, you know, no earthquake, no nothing like that, a 12-story building collapsing. That's just something you don't hear about normally. If there's a fire or an earthquake, that's different. So this is going to be a story to follow up over the course of the next year. But
oh my, it's just horrible. Yeah. Yes.
The other story, which I want to go to, is what's happening today, where once again the chief executive officer of the Trump Organization is going to surrender to authorities with a criminal indictment on hand about him. It's right now the indictment is just on that person and the Trump Organization, but this is, once again, a place where the presidency has never been, where after a president is out of office, the business that bears his name is now coming under incredible scrutiny.
His name is Alan Weisselberg. He's the chief financial officer, the CFO. He may have already turned himself into authority earlier this morning. He'll be in court today. I think one thing to look at is that the early information about the nature of the charges is coming primarily from the lawyers for the Trump Organization and for Mr. Weisselberg. They have spun it to suggest these are very minor charges, failure to pay taxes on perks that employees were given, cars, apartments, school tuition, apparently, which, of course, is no small matter in New York City. Nevertheless, those are the kind of tax issues that rarely, rarely result in a prosecution. So if that's all they have, it will be underwhelming, to say the least, and already Mr. Trump is said to be emboldened by this, and if it's a charge just on failure to pay taxes on the cars they gave him, and they should have paid taxes, then usually that's resolved in a civil way with huge penalties and fines. Very rarely does anybody go to prison. And, of course, the whole point of this is to get Weisselberg to decide to testify about Donald Trump. Without his testimony, without his insight, it's very likely that the district attorney's office could ever bring a charge against Trump. So this is a pivotal day in the investigation.
All right. And then the big shocker yesterday about Bill Cosby's sentence being vacated due to a technicality.
Absolutely. Well, a technicality, yes. He was told he wasn't going to be prosecuted, so he agreed or was forced essentially to testify in a civil suit brought by the same woman for whom he was convicted of raping, essentially. And the court held that because he was told he wasn't going to be prosecuted and because, therefore, they had induced him to waive his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination, that they couldn't bring this case, and the only remedy was to end it and release him. He's out. There doesn't appear to be any kind of an appeal. In some ways, there's a justice. We don't want the government to force citizens to testify against themselves, is what's happened here, and then turn around and use the information. On the other hand, what we know about Cosby is that he was really an awful man. He still stands as an awful man. Nothing anybody said about him was proven to be incorrect. It's just, as you say, it's a kind of legal technicality, but it's a part of the justice system that, you know, is important to be upheld. Regrettably, it's a choice there of do you want a system where people are, citizens are kind of conned into testifying, and then that's used against them.
It is almost as blatant a mistake as what happened in the Crosby in the trial of the murders in Los Angeles with the murder of a Buffalo Bills star, O.J. Simpson, where the prosecution didn't investigate the officers, and that led to an unwise decision there as well, but a legal decision. So the bad thing about this decision is that even though it was vacated on a technical aspect, it emboldens. Unfortunately, the actions that are taken against women, it really does. It's a pretty dark day for that.
It really is, and so disappointing for the women who testified and came forward, and so many of them did. And there's a long list of women who have claimed, apparently, totally correctly, that he used a kind of drug on them and took advantage of them. He did serve almost 3 years in prison, but he's out, and you have to decide now whether, you know, what was important. The rule of law is important. Yeah. Probably more important than any one man's conviction, but it stinks, that's for sure. And you wonder why the prosecution went ahead using that kind of information, knowing this could be the issue.
And like you say, it's not going to change the fact. Everybody knows who Bill Cosby is now, and what he is and what he has done. So that's not going to change the personal look, the way people look at him. But still, it's a black eye. It's a black eye. Now, today I think it's the final day where the Supreme Court makes decisions, is it not?
Yes, it is. Some big rulings coming at 10 o'clock this morning. There'll be a lot to talk about next week. But yeah, some big rulings. This is the end of the term. One of the questions that will be asked, in addition to the rulings, is what's going to happen to the most elderly member of the court, Stephen Breyer? Will he step down while there is still a Democratic majority in the Senate?
And there's a couple of – the one that I'm interested in is dark money. Conservative nonprofits the Thomas More Law Center is going after the rule that requires charitable organizations to solicit donations and disclose the contributors to the state attorney general. We've already gone down the slippery slope once, and I hope we don't go down it further.
I couldn't agree more, but, you know, they found that so much the money area is an extension of the First Amendment. And as we saw last week in the ruling about the cheerleader, the high school girl, that, you know, this court has taken a very broad view, and as a First Amendment absolutist, which I am as a reporter, I salute that. But that, you know, they have seen using money in politics as extension of the First Amendment of free speech, and so they've been very lenient there. I gave us the Citizens United ruling and other rulings that people think are not really great for politics, but that's been the reasoning.
All right, and one final thing. China is really now pushing very aggressively on the world stage with some of the comments that came out from their 100th anniversary.
Yep. It is absolutely the case. Are they going to reunite with Taiwan? That seems to be the issue. That is, as we discussed last week and the week before, that is a real flashpoint. That really is. And, hard to know what's going to happen there. It's scary, and it used to be that China was seen mostly as an economic adversary. They are really using their muscles, flexing their muscles with their. They've got a strong fleet there. We are at a distance there. What would happen if they actually tried to invade Taiwan, this island off the China, which they say is theirs, and we see it as an independent country or an independent place.
All right. Well, we can end on some good news, and that's the Sharon Playhouse opening this weekend.
Yes. I also want to point out Friday is the big cake sale, Historical Society. Yours truly will be one of the auctioneers, starting around 4:35 in the afternoon, weather permitting, out on the outside of the Historical Society. We've got 16 cakes made by some of the great bakers of Sharon, Connecticut. That'll be auctioned off, all for a good cause. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm looking forward to it a lot, and I plan to buy at least one or two.
Let them eat cake. That's it.
Exactly right.
All right, Brian, have a great weekend and happy 4th of July.
Great talking to you. Take care.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio.